Good morning in the U.S. and good afternoon in Europe, and welcome today to the TGS NOPEC conference call. My name is Hank Hamilton. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the company, and joining me today on the call from TGS is Arne Helland, our Chief Financial Officer. Early this morning, TGS issued an update on its fourth quarter and full year 2007 revenues. Based on the initial reports from all our operating units, we now expect the net revenues for the fourth quarter of 2007 on a TGS standalone basis to be approximately $168 million. This is approximately 36% above last year's fourth quarter, which up until now had been our best quarter ever. On a full year basis, we now expect our standalone net revenues to be approximately $453 million. This represents a growth rate that's in excess of 14% compared to 2006, and it's in line with the standalone guidance that we issued in mid-July prior to our merger negotiations with Wakefield Insight. The reason for our record revenues now in the fourth quarter is quite simply robust late sales from our multi-client library in all geographic regions. The market response that we've seen has been broad-based and very balanced, with particular strength in the Gulf of Mexico and in Europe. Our late sales were also very well balanced across various vintages of projects from our library. We're now entering 2008 in an excellent position to deliver further growth. Although our 2007 plans were hampered by the late delivery of the two newly rigged 3D seismic vessels, both are performing very well today, and we should see a big impact in 2008 from having those assets perform for the full year. On top of that, as we've previously announced, we expect to begin White Azimuth 3D operations on a large-scale project in the Gulf of Mexico in February, and this will be utilizing additional resources that were not part of the TGS activity in 2007. We plan to give our full fourth quarter release on February the 14th, and due to the delays in completing the merger with Wakefield Insight, at this stage we expect to present the TGS Q4 and full year figures on a standalone basis. We also plan to issue our guidance for 2008 at that time. And one final note, we want to point out that TGS may be required to record a financial loss in its fourth quarter account due to a mark-to-market value of the Wakefield shares that we acquired during the third quarter of 2007 and that we still own. So there's been no loss realized, but we may need to record a financial loss from that procedure. Okay, at this point, we'd like to open up the call to your questions. Please press star followed by one to pose your question.
First question, Bill Horbeck, Simmons and Company. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Good morning.
Hi, Bill.
Could you please provide some specificity as to what the specific late sales numbers are expected to be in Q4?
I think our sales are composed basically of late sales, pre-funding revenues, and proprietary contract revenues. And we expect the proprietary contract revenues to be pretty much flat with Q3.
Okay.
The pre-funding revenues are going to be a little down from Q3.
Okay.
So the big increase is in the late sales. I don't have a specific number for you, but you can build a model on that basis.
Yeah, I've got that. What do you think accounts for, frankly, the long expected surge in late sales in the Gulf of Mexico? Is it a combination of the Central Gulf of Mexico lease sale coupled with catch-up spending for unspent seismic budgets?
I would say both of those things have an effect. You know, the normal buying pattern in the Gulf of Mexico was disrupted this year because of the changes in the lease sale schedules.
Right.
We had that one big sale at the very beginning of October.
Okay.
I think the oil companies reassessed their strategy following that lease sale with another big opportunity coming up now in March.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there was heavy buying as a result of that. And now we always see a Q4 effect relative to perhaps using up some unspent budget money, and we saw that again this year, I think.
And would you expect, you mentioned that lay sales were well represented with respect to the sort of spectrum of age, if you will. So along those lines, what should be a reasonable expectation on our part with regard to margin in the fourth quarter?
Right. I think, you know, we give annual guidance on an amortization rate.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be within that rate for the full year and probably within that range also for the fourth quarter alone.
So remind us what that range was, please.
Arne, you may have to help me. Was it 28 to 32% we got out, 27 to 32% amortization rate?
I think it's 27 to 32%. That's the range that we guided on.
Right.
Okay, great. That's all I have. Thanks very much, guys.
Next, Morton Newsom, Coveting. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, guys. Congratulations on a very, very strong fourth quarter. Just one question regarding the quarter. Was it any specific or one-time effect which boosted this quarter compared to, let's say, the fourth quarter last year?
I would say no. It's typical for us to have one or two very large-scale transactions every quarter. And looking back in the fourth quarter this year, I would say the largest single transaction that we handled represented approximately 15% of our total revenue for the quarter. That's not unusual. I went back and compared that to Q4 a year ago, and our largest transaction in Q4 last year represented about 17% of our revenues for that quarter. So fairly typical spread, I would say.
Okay. It has nothing to do with the merger between Stetson and Hydro.
We have typically two or three data transfer related transactions every year. So we see that as not an unusual item, but part of our business.
Okay. Last question. To Arne, maybe. Could you make any more specific comments regarding the expected loss for the Bayfield shares? Remind us on what you purchased it on.
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, we issued this report and this update only 3 working days after the end of the year, so we haven't been able to look through all the elements. We are in a discussion, or we need to consult with the auditor whether, based on the status of the merger and all that, whether we need to make a value adjustment on those shares and whether that is going to be charged over the directly over the equity or over the profit and loss. So that will be clear only later. But there is. We do have the shares, the share price has gone down from, I think by the end of September, Wakefield's shares were at 58.50 kroner, and now by the end of December, they were at 42.3 kroner.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Ken Iverson for Reforms. Go ahead, please.
Congratulations with a strong quarter. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Next, Richard Johnson, ABG Sundal. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, just one quick follow-up question. Did you book any of the missing sales from Q3 in Q4?
I guess we did make sales to, if you're talking about the specific customers, we did make some sales to some of the same customers that we were talking to at the end of Q3, during Q4. I would say that, as we mentioned in our Q3 earnings presentation relative to the same question, a lot of times if the deal isn't closed at the end of a quarter, you know, it goes off the table, and then it's reworked, and oftentimes ends up looking quite different a quarter later. So there's not a very good one-to-one correspondence there, but I think, you know, some of the discussions that were taking place at the end of Q3 with individual customers did wind up creating some revenues for us in Q4.
Okay. Another thing, you mentioned the upcoming lease round in March as an important sales driver. Is it your expression that people or your clients were aggressively buying data ahead of that licensing round now in Q4? And should we then expect a slower Q1, or do you think there's more to come also in the first quarter this year?
Yeah. Richard, Q4 is almost always our biggest because people are gearing up for that sale, and it's typically held in March, plus there is the issue of year-end unspent budget. So I think that it would be unusual for Q1 to be bigger than Q4. But having said that, we do typically see some spending in the early part of Q1, you know, in advance of that March lease sale.
Also, just finally, pricing strategy. Did you review your pricing strategy in light of what happened in Q3? Did you offer better deals, different volume packages in order to entice your clients to buy data?
I don't think we changed our discounting policy. We still stick with the concept that that the bigger the volume, the more the discount is, and that's been our driving principle for quite some time now. We haven't changed that.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Tveit Reid, ENSG Law Securities, go ahead, please.
Congratulations from me also, very strong figures. I think my question relates to the strong figures you posted today. Do you think that this will change the relationship between you and TGS as we have seen recently, and also the merger process going forward?
I should assume you mean the relationship between TGS and Wayfield?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a question probably better posed to Wayfield. We have had a disagreement for some time now about whether or not the conditions for completing the merger have been fulfilled or not. We have maintained that they have been fulfilled, and they have maintained that they have not been fulfilled. So we're in a process to try and resolve an answer to that very question. You know, I certainly would believe that that we put some questions relative to late sales and the future strength of the TGS business to rest with this quarter's performance.
You also mentioned just a housekeeping question here regarding contract revenues on the same levels as in Q3, expecting in Q4, and then you mentioned pre-funding revenues down over the relative pre-funding ratio because I expect you to invest more in Q4 than in Q3.
We haven't tallied up our total investment yet in Q4, but I would expect it to be lower than it was in Q3. Would you agree, Arna?
Difficult to say on that. You know, we had we had some more of this uptime, I guess, in Q4. So it, but then on the other hand, we may have had some lower of this. I guess just from the top of my head that it's the same or a bit lower, yeah.
But because the guidance you gave on investment at 145 to 155, that would imply in the long range of investment that you should invest around, take or give, $45 to $50 million in the fourth quarter, which should be much, much more than the three first quarters, which was around 31 to 33.
Yeah, but we had planned to start a wide estimate survey in Q4, which didn't happen, and that now will happen in Q1 2008.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next, Veiko Holly, ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello, and congratulations on my point as well. Could I just confirm that the survey that you highlighted to start for February is indeed the partnership with Western Gecko?
That's correct.
Yeah, Dan, and you mentioned something about new assets in relation to this survey.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that in comparing our 2008 activity to 2007, we will be using vessels for that project that we did not have in our operating for us in 2008. I'm sorry, in 2007. So on a comparative basis, it's a substantial increase in activity level and investment level.
All right. And in terms of the fourth quarter, I mean, the wide azimuth survey was originally planned to begin in the fourth quarter. How did you make up for did you get other projects easily to fill up the free time from that?
We did deploy our vessels. Our plan was at the beginning of the fourth quarter was to use Wayfield assets to start up the White Azimuth.
Mm.
And that did not happen.
All right.
So we had our vessels deployed on other projects.
Right.
And the making up on the revenue side just came from more lay sales from our existing library.
All right. And maybe on the second issue, regarding the arbitration proceedings that you decided to go for on Sunday, and I'm now following up with the positive statement on Monday. Was there any particular reason why you wanted to put out the issue on the arbitration proceedings already on Sunday, preceding the positive announcement and also the Wayfield EGM?
Well, Sunday basically just represented the end of the 30-day period that was specified in the merger plan for pre-arbitration negotiations. So we think that shareholders have been waiting a long time, and there's no reason to delay a process to get things resolved.
All right, thanks.
Next, Alan Björn Flåten from Finance. Go ahead, please.
Yes, it's Alan. Good. Congratulations on me too. I was wondering on the Norsk Hydro Statoil merger. Did you confirm that you received compensation in the fourth quarter?
We did close we did finalize negotiations on that transfer issue during the fourth quarter. That's correct.
Can you say how much that counted for?
No, it's our policy not to disclose commercial terms on a contract with a named customer without that customer's consent, I think for obvious reasons. So we did not give a specific number on that.
Okay. Another question. I have heard that there are some majors that in 2007 had already spent much of their seismic budgets and that they were planning on buying surveys related to the March round in the first quarter of 2008. Is that something you have noticed and experienced too, that some people or some companies have postponed their buying pattern?
I think in general, what we see in the fourth quarter is that some companies have extra budget money left over, and some have spent it all, so they wait until the first couple of weeks of January. So whether that's specific to majors or independents or small companies, I don't know if there's a real trend there, but that wouldn't be unusual that some companies had spent their budget and will now actively buy in early Q1.
But you don't see a stronger tendency in that direction in 2007 and 2008 than previously?
Well, our results would indicate otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. So that's also why I'm asking if the results are even stronger than we could think, considering the fact that some players might have postponed their sales or their purchases.
Potentially, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next, Ole Jakob Storvik, Sector. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, and congratulations with the strong results. Two questions. The first one is regarding the revenue split between the Eastern and Western Hemisphere. Can you say something about that? And the second question is regarding the wide azimuth survey you're planning with the Western Chico. Can you say something about the cost for the vessel you will have to pay to Western Chico?
Okay. So on the first question is the revenue split. I assume for Q4, we we haven't done all the statistical analysis that we normally would prepare for the full earnings release, so I'll give you an answer off the top of my head. I would estimate that in Q4, roughly 65% or so of the revenues came from the Western Hemisphere, which is, I think, pretty much in line with what we did in 2006 on a full-year basis. Yeah. On the Wide Azimuth project and the vessel costing, the intention of the agreement was that the vessels would be provided and the cost of the project would be split equally on a cost basis and not on a market rate basis. So
okay.
That was the intent of the agreement.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next, Testa, Wally West. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, please. Apologies, I was a few minutes late. I may have missed one or two things. Firstly, you had the GeoBarents was running late, and there was an important survey related to that. Was that completed in time for sale during the fourth quarter, or would that be sold primarily in the first quarter?
The project that the GeoBarents originally came to the Gulf of Mexico to acquire was a project that we call Stanley, and we were not able to complete that entire project in time to deliver before the October sale. I think we had about two-thirds of it available for the October sale, and the remaining part is we're working hard on the processing to have that out in time for the March sale now. The acquisition phase has been completed.
Okay, so but that data will primarily be sold, that last sort of time we sold therefore in Q1?
Yes.
Okay, but you have completed acquisition?
Yes.
Okay. And then were there any particularly large deals which involve, say, data delivery over longer time periods than usual booked in from Q4?
Let's see. Well, we can only recognize revenues based on what we, for completed projects, based on what we actually delivered before the end of the year. So any commitments for surveys that are completed that were made in December that we didn't deliver would show up, in our backlog figures that we'll report in February.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember any really unusual issues there.
Okay, so this is all delivered data. And any unusually large contracts?
I did comment earlier that the largest individual transaction we did represented about 15% of our quarterly revenues. And that's really not an unusual number. Comparing it to Q4 last year, our largest transaction was about 17% of our quarterly revenues.
Okay. And then, sorry, just one other question on Stanley. With the other two-thirds of the data which had been completed by October but not ready for the sale, was that data marketed in Q4?
Yeah, that's been data was sold reasonably well in Q3 and then also reasonably well in Q4. So.
Okay, so that's going to bode well for the final third. Yeah. And do you think that what last third will be ready in time for customers to be able to acquire and analyze it before the March round?
We will certainly have a product available, whether it will be the final product or not, and exactly how far in advance of the sale we will have that is not clear. We will have a product available that most companies will have time to use.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Next, Morten Liestad, Coating. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, just ask two follow-up questions. In terms of the merger process, you previously stated that you see no reason to change the agreed merger terms. Is this still what you are working against, or could you be willing to change the agreed terms?
Well, the instructions from our shareholders were a mandate to close it on the existing already agreed terms. So that's what we're working towards. Yes, that's what we're working towards.
Okay. My final question. Given the guidance you said when you presented your third quarter figures, you delivered significantly above this revenue guidance. Could you make any comments regarding what surprised TGS or what was stronger than you had expected for the fourth quarter?
I think it was just late sales in general. Basically, every geographic region, outperformed the forecast on that. We just ended up selling more products and getting a good price than we expected.
Great. Thanks.
Huh?
Next, Victoria Austin, ABG Sundar. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. Did you book any proprietary marine contract revenues in the fourth quarter?
Yes, we did, and I think our proprietary revenues are going to be, I think we mentioned, roughly on the same level as they were in Q3.
Yeah, I understand that, but just whether that also included leasing out ships to...
Yes.
Thanks. Okay.
Next, Tveitled and Skidmore. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, just a follow-up on regarding the sales in the fourth quarter. Can you just tell us about how did it develop in the 3 months? Was it a strong pickup in December month? Was it slow in the beginning of the fourth quarter? And do you think that the issues in the merger process has had some negative impact on your potential sales in the fourth quarter?
Let's see. The first question I'll take first. We showed in our Q3 earnings release the monthly patterns that we have in our sales, which shows that nearly every quarter, more than 50% of our revenues come in the last month of the quarter. And I would say we saw a similar pattern this quarter. Could we have... Your second question again was related to whether the process of the merger hampered our late sales efforts.
Yeah, have you tied up some resources or anything regarding this process instead of making sales to your clients?
I would certainly say that we went through two reviews of Q3 that were very time consuming for some of our sales organizations. So. I don't know if we missed any opportunities as a result of that, but I know that there was certainly some distraction for at least two full weeks, during that quarter.
Thank you very much.
Next, Bill Horbeck, Simmons & Company. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Just to follow up, Hank, obviously I think your performance here in the fourth quarter sort of refutes the contention on the part of some, if not quite a few people, that your library is on a rapid path towards obsolescence due to the fervor associated with wide azimuth. However, to the larger sort of conceptual point down the road, at what point do you start to see a degradation of your existing conventional 3D library assets versus the newer surveys that are in the process of taking place and going to take place on the wide azimuth front?
Right. I think we've commented before, Bill, that very, very little of our existing 3D inventory today is covered by wide azimuth, right? In fact, there's only one project. It's a fairly new project. It's the Stanley project that we've been talking about, and that project continues to sell.
Yeah.
So I think we're targeting a slightly different market.
Yeah.
Than wide azimuth. It's at a different price point than wide azimuth. If eventually wide azimuth becomes discounted down to lower prices, then we'll have to respond with prices on our existing inventory and keep it at a lower price point. But I think our industry will maintain some discipline on that. So at this stage, it's a very minor impact. Most of our deep water 3D in the Gulf of Mexico has been fully amortized, so we don't risk impairment.
Right.
And where we do have significant book value left in the Gulf of Mexico is primarily, up on the shelf where people are not shooting wide azimuth yet.
Okay. And other than the Western GECO alliance that you struck for this large wide azimuth survey that you're in the process of, or going to be in the process of prosecuting, are you in discussions with any other parties with regard to similar ventures?
Not right now, although we certainly have other concepts on light azimuth that we want to pursue. So I don't think...
And those other concepts would be what?
Additional projects.
Okay, and to review this project that we're prosecuting with Western GECO, the initial phase, 650 blocks or about 15,000 square CAM, and that's going to be expanded to about 1,000 blocks down the road?
Could be potentially. I mean, the first 650 blocks are going to take us close to a year.
Okay.
So we're pretty well set with a plan for 2008. We do contemplate potential expansions of that project.
Okay, and then we talked about, you had already announced a pre-funding commitment of $40 million for that, and then you had already received, another major pre-funding commitment before this. Have we received any additional pre-funding dollars for the survey?
Not at a scale that's really newsworthy at this point.
Okay, so total pre-funding that you have amassed for this project is what?
Well, we haven't disclosed that figure, Bill.
That's what I'm asking him.
Yeah. and I prefer not to at this point, but maybe we'll disclose it in February.
Okay, and last question. The configuration for this is we are going to use one master vessel and three source vessels?
That will be the starting configuration. We are also contemplating at some point during the project switching out to two master vessel and two source vessel, which would be a more efficient combination.
Okay. Hey, Hank, thank you very much.
Sure.
Next, Trey Tired, Enskilda Securities. Go ahead.
Sorry for bothering you with more questions, but just a more industry-specific question. If you look on your competitors right now, especially CGG Veritas, but of course to some extent also PGS and Western GECO, they have on an aggregated basis told the market that they expect to push more of their fleet capacity from 2007 into 2008 and 2009 away from multi-client towards contract seismic. And I would just like to ask you, Hank, why do you think they are doing that? Why are they reducing their focus on multi-client? And what effect will this have for TGS?
Well, I would encourage them to do exactly that. It's difficult to understand exactly what the strategy of each of the competitors are. Perhaps they feel that the multi-client projects that they have invested heavily in over the past year are the best ones available, and that they can make a higher return in the contract market going forward. But that's really a question that you ought to ask them.
Hmm. But for you, what do you see this trend for TGS?
Well, we expect to continue our focus on the multi-client sector, and we continue to see lots of opportunities that we'll pursue as fast as we can. So if we have less competition in pursuing some of the new opportunities, that would be a good thing.
If the market are doing what they are saying, that CGG Veritas, definitely largest multi-client cyclic investor in 2007 with around $400 million, will almost half them in the next 2 years. That's the trend that will be supported by all the large ones. What do you think could happen then with contract seismic prices, which we have seen a tremendous bull run for the last 3-4 years in 2009 versus 2008?
Yeah, I would expect, I have not heard of any contracts being signed for 2009 yet, or any rates relative to 2009. But I would expect at least through the summer season of 2009, the contract rates to remain quite strong.
Hmm.
I think that should change late in the year.
Hmm. Thank you very much.
Next, Morten Lysdal, Copting. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, I had the phone on mute. Last question, Hank. Can you make any comments regarding the cost for TGS for the 650 blocks with one azimuth data?
We typically, Morten, don't disclose costing on a per project basis. I'd rather not do that.
Okay, but if I understand this right, this will come on top of the multi-client investments for TGS in 2008, right?
That's correct, and we'll issue guidance on February 14th of our total planned investment level.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chris.
Mr. Hamilton, no further questions.
Okay, we thank you for joining this morning, and look forward to seeing you all again on the 14th of February. Thank you very much.